starting, you were talking about that you would marry Selma on March 20th, 1938.
And I think you were asking me where we were married.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. May we just stop?
Can I continue?
Yes, please.
We were married in Dallas by a father and son who had been a combination. Dr. David Lefkowitz and Dr. David Lefkowitz Jr. The son, perhaps, was not a doctor at that time, because subsequently, David Lefkowitz Jr. took the pulpit in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I mention that because Selma was born in Kelty, Texas, a sawmill community of about 300 or 400, about 3 or 4 miles from Lufkin, Texas, which was the county seat, then perhaps around 4,000 or 5,000 or less. I mention that too because her background and upbringing was in a great measure much like my own. I won't call her a country boy, but she was exposed to country life. Her parents were Reformed Jews living in a Christian community with perhaps a few more Jewish families than I indicated my experiences as a young boy and a young man. Her father was a very active lay leader in his community, in the Jewish faith, was the president of the temple in Shreveport, and when they moved to Dallas in, I believe, 1929, they affiliated with Temple Emmanuel in Dallas, and he was the president of the Temple Emmanuel in Dallas. With that influence and background of Selma and her family, and with the influence and background that I already indicated in my parents, I thought it was important that I enjoy some involvement, and I say enjoy because it is a pleasure and to me an enjoyment to be involved in not only community that I like generally, but in our temple life. And Selma, of course, was equally influential and active in our temple, as you know, earned the presidency of sisterhood and was a board member and continues to support me in that involvement. Now, as I indicated too, Selma was the only one of their family who left Dallas. Her parents, who are now dead, and I speak of with a great deal of affection and fondness, plus of memories, thought that I was somewhat of a maverick to bring Selma up to Pittsburgh. But I don't think it was ever more than said in jest that they would have preferred to have me settle in Dallas rather than Pittsburgh. We still have family in Dallas. Selma's oldest brother, only brother, but the oldest of the family of four, and an older sister still live there. Their families are all still Dallasites. Her older sister, Isabel, who was the second child passed away, but her daughter, Mary, still lives in Denver. So we still have strong ties and a great deal of family interest in Dallas.
When you started to set up your practice, did you have anything particular in mind for the type of law practice that you wanted?
I knew that I would only be interested in civil practice, and civil practice, as we then viewed it, and perhaps still view it, as business-oriented practice. Some people refer to it as corporate practice, but I like to refer to it as generally business practice. I found myself involved, however, in a variety of fields of the profession, because as a young lawyer in those years, you could not be quite as selective in either clients or in the field. But I did confine myself to the civil practice. I found myself, however, involved in some personal interest, which was very limited, never of any great interest to me. I found myself involved in wills and estates, which really was of great interest to me. One of my very early fees on a comparative basis was a very substantial fee, was the result of being appointed by the Register of Wills clerk as an administrator of an estate that nobody else, either trust companies or lawyers, were willing to take because they didn't know whether the estate had any assets. And I was more interested in the experience at that point in time than I was in the fee, notwithstanding the fact that it was important to be earning something. And I say again that having been appointed as administrator and doing some rather exhaustive investigating, discovered there were some assets. I found a piece of real estate, and the piece of real estate had to be sold then under a different procedure than now, but as a result, I went through a rather complicated administration of a relatively small estate that nobody was willing to take because they didn't know whether they were going to get paid. And I remember that with a great deal of interest, because when I sold a piece of real estate as an officer of the court, about 25 years later, the people that bought the real estate had a young daughter then who had matured, called me one day and asked me if I would recognize her name. She identified herself by name. And for 25 years, not having been in touch with that person, I recognized her indeed.
That's
fantastic.
Were you in private practice?
I was in private practice, and I tell you, the kind of private practice that then was not as uncommon as it is now. A young lawyer who did not have substantial relationships with either business people or with lawyers in the community, very often would establish an association with other lawyers, but not a partnership and not necessarily an employer-employee relationship, but rather a lawyer-lawyer association. It was a common arrangement in Pittsburgh, and I came into the Frick Building because I knew some of the young lawyers here. I was friendly through the temple with Marty Fleischman, blessed memory, Alan Vass, the Frick Building was then and still is perhaps the best location for a lawyer. And I found a vacant office on the 8th floor where four other non-Jewish lawyers were practicing and had been practicing, one particularly from the time the building was open. His name was Harry G. Tinker. He was the secretary of the Bar Association for maybe 30 years when I first came to the bar. And his woman secretary, named Lula M. Genter, G-E-N-T-E-R, had been his secretary from the time I think she was 15 or 16. And she taught me, perhaps as much as anyone, the first year about the courthouse, the clerk's offices, how to handle a real estate closing, how to prepare an account. I found, and I say this, I found that I was fortunate in having an experienced, highly qualified legal secretary, and of course I found myself with these lawyers, all of whom were in their 50s or 60s, treating me like I was a member of their family. And one I've already identified as Harry G. Tinker, William J. Connolly, whose son I know now and am friendly with and see frequently at the Harvard Yale Princeton Club, who was then a shady side and then went on to Yale. John M. Henry was another lawyer whose sister, John M. Henry had been an assistant U.S. attorney, and when I was in his office here, he was a general practitioner, but his sister was a clerk in the U.S. Court office in the bankruptcy court, and I found that of some value to me. One of the other lawyers was William A. Blair, who was a very prominent lawyer until his recent death a year or two ago. He was a senior member of the firm of Griggs, Moreland, Blair, and Douglas. And when I found it necessary to make some changes here in the Frick Building, I associated with Mark Wedman, M.D. Wedman. That was during the war years, and I, while I was interested in going into the service and made application for Navy service, I was past a certain age and I was disqualified for Navy service because of my height limitations. That perhaps was a blessing, but I did do what I found it to my liking and to my personal need to do something specific. And I worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad and for Westinghouse for about 3 years on the second shift from 4 to 12. And continued to maintain my office from 4 p.m. until midnight.
What did you do?
At the Pennsylvania Railroad, I think I was identified as an expediter. An expediter meant that I was to track and expedite railroad cars that were carrying war material. and are moving to plants that were involved in the war effort. A great deal of that also involved the movement of coal. Pennsylvania Railroad was, in this area, was a big transporter of coal, either coming from the Lake Erie region or coming from the Altoona, Blair County region. And from 4 p.m. till midnight, it was a half hour, I think, for a lunch, which I would take in the Pennsylvania Railroad Station. If you remember, and I'm sure you do, the Pennsylvania Railroad Station was a center of activity. And I was in the transportation department working under H.J. Clapper, who was the director of transportation. And I don't think I've mentioned that name since. But he was a grand person, and he recognized my dual schedule. And if I were 5 minutes late, which I seldom was, he would not penalize me, and as long as I was performing. And I would have a stack of telegraph requests to locate or move certain railroad cars that were destined for a particular war plane. That was at the Pennsylvania Railroad. At the Westinghouse, I worked in the East Pittsburgh or Turtle Creek Division in the Motor and Generator Division. There, too, I think, while a different title, I seem to remember I was responsible for moving motors and generators that were being built and ordered for industry that was involved in war material. And I think I was there to the so-called expediter, just to make sure that it was not bogged down in the production channel. That was a little more difficult for me because I would have to drive out to East Pittsburgh, leaving the city maybe at 3 or 3:30 to get there at 4 o'clock, and get home at 12:30 or 1. I would come in maybe at 9 or 10 o'clock, and I'm not suggesting that I didn't adjust myself to that, but I would adjust my schedule. It was a little more difficult than the arrangement of Pennsylvania Station, because I could walk down here, leave in a 3:45 and be there on time, and I'd get home at 12:15 or 12:30 very easily.
Is it during this time that the children were placed?
Well, our first daughter, Barbara, who is now married to Alan Ackerman and has 3 children, was born when we were living on Whiteman Street in the Hollandman apartment. And we moved from there to Northumberland Street, almost across the street from the fire engine house, close to Shady Avenue. When we were expecting a second child, Susan, we found it necessary desirable to move into a home, and we moved from Northumberland to Albemarle Avenue, 5411 Albemarle Avenue. Susan was born when we were living on Albemarle Avenue, in fact born 2 or 3 weeks after we moved in, shortly after. Selma's mother, blessed memory, always found it desirable and personally just to come to Pittsburgh. In fact, she came to Pittsburgh when Susan was born, having attended the birth of another grandchild in Dallas, I think, the week before.
That's that, too.
was very difficult for her, and I wasn't quite certain whether she was going to be in Pittsburgh, but she was in Dallas as well as Pittsburgh, so we both two grandchildren.
Wonderful.
And her father, Selma's father and mother, always spent time with us in Pittsburgh, fortunately, either before or after their vacation. Didn't matter where they were going, even if it was to California or Colorado, they would always come or go by the way of the vacation in Lake Placid, New York, and that was a little easier. But if they vacation in Chicago or in Colorado Springs or in wherever, they would always include a week to 10 days or however it was convenient for them here. In fact, the most significant vacation experience in Pittsburgh was when they thought it would be best to stay at the Chinle Hotel rather than crowd us on Albemarle, and they had reservations at the Chinle, and we checked in and stayed there for two or three days, and we had a streetcar strike, and we had a hotel employee strike, and they couldn't get up and down the Chinle Hotel elevator, and decided to move over and stayed with us. Couldn't get their trunks out of the hotel when they were ready to go back home, and went back home leaving their trunks. And in those days, they traveled with trunks. We had to ship them a week or two or later. We often talk about that
incident. In the third class?
Richard was born, he's 34, so he was born in 1947. And Richard went to Sadie Stein. I should say, we first went, all of our children went to Whiteson because we were living either on Northumberland, well, they weren't school age then when they moved to Albemarle. Whiteson was the school. They went to Whiteson, and Barbara and Richard, I believe, went for a short time to Taylor Alderdale. And then Barbara, Susan, and Helen, my three daughters, went to Winchester. And Richard and James went to Shadyside. And after the girls finished Winchester, Barbara went to Vassar, Susan went to Wellesley, Helen went to Sanford. I hope it doesn't come out the wrong way when I say that Helen, who normally you would expect to follow her sister, decided that she wanted to go to a co-educational school rather than to a girls' school. While she was admitted to Yale, which was just going co-educational, she was admitted after being on the deferred list and was accepted at Stanford promptly. And Helen has a great sense of fair play and said, if Stanford accepted me first, I'm going to Stanford. And that's where she is. Richard and Jim both went to Harvard in college, and then Richard finished the law school after he spent 2 years in the service. He was in the Navy. He married Judy Fromson, who was also a Wellesley graduate, after they were both finished college. They were sent out to San Diego after Richard was commissioned a lieutenant conference at Newport, Rhode Island. They went out to San Diego, where Richard took some further naval training, and then was shipped out to the Vietnam area for about 2 years, including stayed in San Diego working. And when he came back to the States, he was in Washington for a short time with the service. And when he was discharged, he was fortunate. He was discharged a couple of months ahead of his schedule, and he saved a year for the law school, 3 year term. So in, I think, September, '73, they both went to law school. Richard yeah. went to Harvard, and Judy went to Boston College. And they finished law school and went to Philadelphia. And they both practiced law in Philadelphia. They have one child, 5 years old, Benji.
You don't like him.
He's in the city presently, so I haven't seen him yet. We did see him this last, this month, as a matter of fact, on August the 8th. Selma has a birthday on August the 8th and joins us with our twin grandchildren.
Oh,
Susan has the boy and girl, her twins, who were born on Selma's birthday,
birthday.
3 years ago.
Oh, isn't that? Does Susan live in the city?
Susan is living in New York, married to a lawyer, and Susan is a full-time practicing lawyer in New York. Was just admitted as a partner this past March, I believe, in the law firm of Marshall Dean, Allison and Tucker, maybe a 85-person law firm, and very actively involved in practicing law.
You must be very proud.
I am proud of it. Particularly Susan, because she finished Wellesley, was out of school for about 5 years, having taken a graduate course at Harvard in urban design, went to the Washington, D.C., redevelopment land agency, went to New York with the New York State Urban Development Corporation, exposed to lawyers, architects and bankers, and decided she wanted to go to law school, and went to NYU Law School and graduated from NYU Law School and married a lawyer who was the nephew she was in the New York Urban Development Corporation office. But we're not married until she finished law school.
Yeah.
And but the day that her husband, I'm sure, encouraged her and supported her in that commitment. And they're both actively practicing law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barbara and Alan had three children, Alan Jr., Elizabeth, and Al and Peter. Susan has the twins, that's five, and Richard has one, that's six.
Helen is living in
Cincinnati, married to John Habert, the third. They met when we had an American Field Service student, and John's parents had an American Field Service student. And as a result of that experience, Helen and John became friendly when they were in high school.
Yeah.
Helen was at Winchester, and John was at, in Edgewood. John.